Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
What's going on, comic nerds? Welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast, season 4, episode 13, recording this part on 3/28/2024. So I got a fun episode today. I'm going to be doing the first part. I got some guests with me, and then our second part was actually recorded a day earlier because our man Milton the Manimal is traveling from El Paso to Virginia for his new living space. So myself and the Mrs. Prime are bringing on two artists, two gentlemen who I've had the pleasure of meeting several times and getting to know over the past year. Sometimes I feel like I'm at the same shows that they're at, and I don't know if I'm following them or they're following me. So first and foremost, we have a friend of the channel who I've, seen around. He's done some variants. He's got his own creator stuff. We have Kevin Delgado. Kevin,
hey, how are you? Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And then we have his partner in crime, who I always see at the conventions with him, Mr. John Brugman. Good evening, John, with the Comic-Con podcast Strikes Back shirt on.
How's it going? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, here we always have different YouTube content creators, artists, writers, and I figured, these two gentlemen are new in the industry, people that they, you should be following. They've done a lot of variants. I wanted to bring them on. I want to talk about art. They do have a Kickstarter going on, and I think it's very interesting, not only for their Kickstarter, but as also other stuff that they do, meeting each other and then just having stuff that's going on Instagram. So let's get to know a little bit about John and Kevin. So John, give us a little, 5 minute spiel about you. How did you come up? What are your influences on some artists? And what are you working on?
So kind of a quick rundown. I just finished up schooling for illustration this past spring. Big influences for me were like Frank Frazetta, Simon Bisley. I'd always been interested in comics, and I'd never seen like a painterly style until I found my dad's collection. And then that kind of opened up the door to seeing like guys like Bisley, Frazetta, Glenn Fabry, Bill Sienkiewicz, and that kind of got me painting more in a comic book style. And then working around or talking to shops in Buffalo, meeting people like Kevin around the area, and just building up connections that way, and eventually leading into kind of the comic industry that way. And Kevin's been kind of my mentor for like the past 2 or 3 years now, kind of helping me network a little bit, introduce me to people, and kind of be that teacher that not a lot of people have. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't largely because of Kevin.
Wow, look at that. That's some praises. Yeah, it's interesting. When I think I saw you at a show I think it was sometime last year, or even maybe in 2022. And you're running your booth, and it's not like you have, like girlfriend or you're married, because you're a young guy. You got your dad with you, I'm just like, all right, that's cool. That's how you got to go, right? Younger guy in the industry, it's obviously got to have some help with you at the show when you got to go to the bathroom or whatever the case may be. So who's there, running John's booth is John's dad. So it's really awesome.
Yeah, he helps make a lot of our setups too. So like me and Kevin will draw, and then he'll come up like one day, he's like, I found this on Facebook Marketplace. It's very close to a spinner rack, but if I convert it to do this, it'll fit comic books or prints. And we're like, okay. And then usually I'll help him out, or if I'm at work or something and he's retired, he'll spend like the day making up displays for us and all that.
That's awesome. I mean, man, maybe I have to hit up your dad for some displays for us, because since we're going to be setting up at Terrificon, I have no idea what I'm bringing. I literally just got myself one of those big standing, standees that you could buy off of like Vistaprint that has like your logo and all your information. Oh, I think I need something else. So, huh? Yeah.
a retractable banner.
Yeah, those things. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, we're going to be bringing, showcasing that off at King Kong next weekend, and then we'll have it for Terrificon and any other shows that we do the podcast at, obviously setting up. And then our second guest, again, Mr. Kevin Delgado. I've known him for a little bit longer than I've known John, because I remember him over at our buddy Comic Dunes. You know, he did a variant for them. So, you know, Kevin, you know, where are you at? Where are you, what are you working on? Some influences, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'm a 90s kid, so my influences are pretty much Image Comics, you know, Mark Teixeira, Sam Keith, Liefeld, McFarlane, you name it, from that school. So that's kind of like my big imprint. Got out of comics, you know, as a teenager, got back into them in the 2000s with creators like John Cassidy. And then, yeah, I started making comics in 2016, 2017, started with a book called Volantis. I did 8 issues of that, 9 issues, stopped. Did a bunch of other random little books here and there for like different musicians and universities and all that. And then throughout the pandemic, I created a series called Tough Stuff, which I've been doing to this day. I just finished inking issue 4. I'm finishing up the colors on it. Did a bunch of variants in between. Like you said, you know, I met you 2 years ago through Comic Dunes. Just been networking over the years, met so many people. As far as upcoming work, I have cover for Dick Tracy, #1, coming out from Mad Cave on April 24th. I just sent prelims in for my dream cover, so that's cool. And Tough Stuff 4, or Tough Stuff, The Toughening Part 2, will be out in May.
Nice. You know, it's really interesting regarding the Dick Tracy. I didn't even know who owned the property and if they were ever coming out with a comic. And then I saw your variant on your Instagram and I was like, wow, Dick Tracy's finally coming out with a comic book after so many years and it's with Mad Cave. I'm like, that's got to be interesting. So, you know, I grew up, I remember the original, like, what was that, late 80s, early 90s, you know, Warren Beatty movie. So I'm excited to see that. And then I guess, you know, talk about Tough Stuff. That's with Scout, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Tough Stuff is with me.
Oh, just you. So it's, yeah, not.
It was published through Source Point.
Oh, Source Point. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what happened with them. They just kind of went under the radar over the past year and a half or so. So I've always owned the rights to it. So I'm always going to produce it, and it's shopping around. There's other publishers involved for the future, but for right now it's just me through Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, give us a little bit of background, you know, what's the book about for our listeners?
So the book is about a drug addicted alley cat that has to save spring break in 1993. But like, I treat each book as a self-contained story, but it also like evolves over time. So like the second book is Tough Stuff Goes to Rehab. So you don't have to read the book before it to read the current book.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now is The Toughening. So it's two parts because, you know, we want to milk it for everything they got. So like kind of like how they did Deathly Hallows 1 and 2, you know, The Hunger Games, whatever the last one was.
Yeah,
one,
yeah. Mockingjay.
It's like you can't Twilight 1 and 2. You know what I mean? So like The Toughening is basically Tough Stuff trying to prevent the Y2K bug from occurring.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. So you said you got 4 right around the corner.
Yeah. I'll have that. Literally coloring like the last couple pages right now, and it's going directly to the printer like next week.
Sweet. Sweet. So John, obviously you're kind of, you know, we'll use the Star Wars reference. So the Jedi Master and the Padawan, you know, you've basically been Kevin's Padawan for all this time, you know, over the past couple of years. Like I said, I've seen you guys at shows. You know, what's like your biggest inspiration as far as, you know, having Kevin help you out? You know, what have you learned the most from him? Just seeing like the industry, as going to conventions, or, you know, things that happen in the background that we don't really see as a, you know, just like a collector or reader like myself.
Honestly, networking. Like I said, I was in school for illustration and they didn't tell you like anything how to market yourself other than just handing out business cards or just emailing people. But they never told you how to go up and talk to somebody or show them your artwork or like, especially at a booth, trying to grab people's attention across. So having that kind of guidance on trying to network and meet people and get them off, like, not off the convention floor, but out of their, like, direct path to try and come look at your stuff, mm-hmm. that's been a big help. And also just meeting other artists and other people in, like, who are around us that Kevin knows, or, like, it's helped me kind of create my own connections too that way. Like, I mean, you know, Binkies, I started messaging one day, and I don't think I could do that unless I had, like, Kevin's guidance. But, like, if I was still, like, just not knowing how to do any of it, I would have been like, we'll meet up eventually at some point. But it's definitely helped a lot trying to talk to people.
Mm. And I find it very interesting because both of your art style, you guys are complete opposites. You know, I feel like when you sit down, if, you know, looking at your stuff at a booth, it's not like you're both similar. So, you know, if someone's, like, checking out, you know, your stuff, John, or your stuff, Kevin, they're like, oh, well, who does this one, or who did that one? You kind of know, like, just looking at it, being like, oh, well, this is definitely a John Brugman, you know, sketch or cover. And then this is a Kevin Delgado sketch. Kevin, you know, why did you, and, you know, here's the flip side is, Kevin, why'd you kind of start working with John? Like, why did you want to take on this Padawan, as we should say?
Cause he's got talent, and I wish I had that when I was, you know, his age. And he's, like, a deserving artist. Like, he puts the work in, he's good. Like, that Wolverine Sabretooth, like, just from Tuesday night, he showed me his pencils before the show, and I'm like, oh man, I'm like, because I hadn't even done any penciling yet, and I'm like, damn, we're going live in, like, 2 hours. This dude's got, like, the sickest prelim, like, penciled out already, and I have nothing. And I'm like, he's bringing that, like, oh man, forces me to step my game up, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I think that's just the way you should do it. Like, why wouldn't you pay it? Like, you're supposed to play it forward, right? Mm-hmm. Play it forward, whatever the saying is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense not to. Plus, it's nice to have someone else with me, because I'd be doing these shows by myself, and, like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have, like, we just basically created a support system, right? Like, like you said, his father's involved. You know, I'm involved. Like, that's a solid team. Like, we can sell things, you know what I mean? Like, we can really, like, make these weekly trips worth it and get our name out there at the same time. And it's like, yeah, it's really good. It's just super beneficial from each standpoint. Like, I never worried about, you know, like, John taking sales from me or whatever or anything like that. And actually, like, most shows we usually, you know, like, make the same amount. So it doesn't, it's not like, you know, like, I might make more one show, he might make more another show. Like, it all balances out at the end. And, you know, we have the experience to take.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a competition. You're having fun. You know, you're both making money. You're both getting your art better. You know, you're putting yourself out there. You know, someone may see John at a show. Someone may see you at a show, which is really awesome. And, you know, both of you got to grow that way. And you said Tuesday night earlier in the prelim. So let's talk about that. So you guys do a live show on Instagram every Tuesday. Rumble Strix Inc., if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about this. John, how did this all come about? Let's talk about the and what you guys do on a Tuesday night live on Instagram.
So Kevin approached me about a couple of our buddies will do live streams on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, and they'll do live drawing sessions, and just, it kind of helps with marketing, and also it kind of forces us to, like, actually draw, because there's some days, like, you're just not feeling it. And for me, I teach 7th through 12th grade art, and then I also coach, so my days are, like, 12 hours long sometimes. Sometimes it's really hard to motivate myself to draw on those days. So having that, like, day on a Tuesday where, hey, I have to sit down and draw with Kevin. Yeah. A, I just get to hang out with Kevin, and B, I'm actually, like, perfecting my craft and working. And then I also have product for when the conventions come around and all that.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. And I know what you're feeling, you know, and I get what you're saying. Because I'm in the same boat sometimes. I work a full, you know, 9-to-5 job, come home, I eat, or, you know, go to the gym. And then there's, like, it's that Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm like, man, we still got to record. And I'm like, I talked to Zach and I'm like, let's just get this. Some days it's like, not, I don't want to get this over with, but like, I need him to pick me up. And then once we're in it, I'm like, I'm good to go. And I like doing it. Right. Like, and I'm sure that's the same thing with you guys, is like, you may be doing stuff during the day and you're just like, oh man, I don't want to draw later on. But then you guys get into your live chat, you got people jumping in and out, obviously, you know, like, so it was on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, you did the X-Men stuff. So it was you two. And then who else you had with you as well?
We had Ian Cinco. He's from New York City.
Okay.
And he actually did a cover for The Toughening Part 2 as well. And it's amazing. He's so good.
Mm. So now, do you invite people or is it just kind of like they reach out to you? How's that work?
We're just kind of starting with the guests for right now. I don't want to make it like guest centric because then I'll have people like flooding my inbox and trying to get on and stuff. And then it's like, we got to vet people too. Like, and then I got to feel bad if I want to like not have certain caliber artists there or whatever. You know, it's just like a sticky situation at that point. So it's pretty much going to be like invite only, people that are really like, you know, making something, not like just, mm-hmm. It's not like a drawing for fun thing. For John and I, it's mostly commissions or in my case, you know, interior work or a cover or something, whatever. It's professional grade work. So
yeah.
Trying to
keep behind this. It's like behind the scenes stuff. Like while you're doing it, I know a lot of artists that are doing that stuff. It's just like you said, they could be just working on commissions or just regular sketches. But for you, they're actually getting to see stuff that's going to be coming out.
Correct.
Nice. All right. So we were just talking about the Instagram stuff. So like I said, that it's really interesting that you guys do that because I feel like a lot of artists don't do that. And they're only just working on by themselves, right? So to have two people or maybe three people and you guys are friends, you guys are collaborators, I think that's really awesome to have on Instagram because you obviously drawing by yourself too. Sometimes like if I have to go live and I'm talking to myself, it's kind of like you get no reply, but at least you guys can, you know, say something to each other.
I think it's really to promote like our convention appearances more than anything, because I'm sure after, you know, we keep this up, we do it every week, so it's not like we're like missing anything.
Yeah.
So as long as we keep building that audience up, I'm sure people are gonna come and see us at shows that know us just from Rumble Strips and not from the Variants or whatever else you might know us from. They might just say, hey, I've watched your stream on Instagram.
Yeah.
So it's really just a great promotional tool for us, and we're getting work done at the same time.
So before we get into the Kickstarter, speaking of conventions, what do you guys have upcoming? Obviously, we have, this is the end of the month for March. Obviously, Easter weekend. I don't really think anything's going on this weekend, or maybe you guys are, but what are some upcoming cons that you guys are going to in April so people can check you out if you're in the area?
I will be at Rochester Independent Comics Expo on April 6th. It's a one-day nice little show in Rochester, New York. And then the following week, John and I will be at Decepticon, which is in West Seneca, which is a suburb of Buffalo. So it's like backyard show for us, basically.
So you guys both, I know, because I know John was, you know, up there in upstate New York. That's where you're too. You're upstate New York.
Yeah, I'm in Buffalo. John's like 45 minutes to an hour east of Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm like right in between Buffalo and Rochester.
Okay. All right. And then anything, any like long shows other than those two coming up? You guys got any, you know, big 3-day shows or weekend shows?
John? Yeah, we got, I think for the summer we have Heroes Con, and we got that one planned out. We got Niagara Falls Comic Con, which is in Niagara Falls, Canada. We got Nickel City Con, which is in Buffalo as well. And then like way far out, we have Terrific Con, and then I'll be at Baltimore as well.
All right. Yeah. So, all three of us here will be at Terrific Con all set up. So that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. Well, yeah, I definitely going to, when you said Decepticon and I'm like, ooh, Transformers. Oh, so, all right, let's get out of what we're talking about as far as, you know, your upcoming appearances, but let's kind of talk about this Kickstarter. And I think this is a very great idea that most people who love getting sketches, because I'm a big commissions guy. So you have the sketchy artists. Let's talk about this. John, give us a rundown on what you guys are doing right now on the Kickstarter, which started, still has about 15 or 16 days left. You can still go ahead and, you know, promote pledge. That's right. That's the word they want for Kickstarter. Every Indiegogo, this, that, there's always different terms. So you could pledge on their Kickstarter. So give us the rundown on what this is.
So the basic concept is that we took three artists, Kevin Delgado, we also have Martin Zavala on it, and then myself. The big thing that we've kind of noticed as artists is we've been struggling to find sketch covers, whether it's they don't have the character doesn't have a sketch cover, like, for example, Hellboy or The Crow. They don't have sketch covers made up, or some of them are getting like really expensive. Like, I know you're a big Star Wars guy, and it's hard to justify spending like $50 for a blank and then trying to sell it for a certain amount, and then you're cutting into your costs and all that. So what we did is we decided to make an art book showing off some of our best pieces, and then every issue will be a sketch cover, and then we'll have different variations of the sketch cover. So we'll have a white one, a gray one, a red one, and then we'll have an exclusive one for Terrificon, because that'll be the first show of the year that all three of us are at together.
And then the interiors is just blank pages for more sketching, more artists to do commissions, whether it's you guys, right? Is that the idea?
No, the interior is going to be like an art gallery. So it's going to have eight pieces of Kevin's artwork, eight pieces of Martin's artwork, and then eight pieces of my artwork, kind of showing off some of our better pieces that we've done over the past couple of years.
That's cool. Yeah, that's kind of like what you know, we've done with Mad Love. We did an exclusive cover last year. We're going to be dropping one this next week at King Kong. I'll be posting that probably sometime next week on Instagram, so you guys can see that. You know, and that's obviously to get more people out there. And like you said, for man, when you said sketch covers, I'm going to tell you right now, man, I got two short boxes of sketch covers that if you really need them, you hit me up. I swear, like. I used to buy, like, anytime a number one came out or any book that had a sketch cover, I would buy it because I'm like, at some point, I want this Batgirl on this blank cover. I want Catwoman, or I want Batwoman, or I want, like, Riri Williams on an Ironheart. I just bought every sketch cover that I could think of as they were coming out, and I have so many that I remember I did a Whatnot show, and I sold a lot, but I still have way too many, and I'm never going to get enough artists to sketch on all my blanks. So if realistically, if you're looking for sketches, covers, I may have to send you a picture of what I have. So if you guys need them, for real, I got a lot.
Well, I know the other thing for me, like, I live where I'm located, there's one comic book shop and they don't take new issues. Mm-hmm. So in order for me to get like a blank cover, it's like a 40-minute drive to find a shop that might have ordered them, or I have to do an LCS or like do an order for it, and then I still have to drive out that far, and depending on work and scheduling and all that, I might not have a chance to get out there for like 2 or 3 weeks. So it's really hard for me to, like, especially with new comic books, go out and grab new ones. So Kevin's a little easier because he's lives in the Buffalo area.
Yeah, no, I hear you on the, if you're by shops, obviously here in Jersey, there's like one shop every two towns you could find. I'm sure if you dug through boxes, but like you said, you want a good sketch cover. You know, again, Star Wars, they become pricey. Other ones become pricey because it's like a first appearance in that book. And you really want to do that character on that book. It does eat into your cost if you need to be selling them. So the sketchy artist has three people. It's like you said, it's you, Kevin, and Martin. How'd you guys hook up with Martin? Because I'm also a big fan of Martin. I've got a couple things for him as well.
Geez, I met Martin initially. Dang, I can't even remember how at this point. It's been a while. Dang, that's a good question, man. is it because I did Profit? It might have been through me doing Profit.
I want to say around there. I met him through you.
And then I think we just met online, you know, somehow through that, and then met in person like later that year, and we just became friends. That would probably make the most sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. Martin's great. I just saw him at what was the last show? I went to AwesomeCon down in DC, and he was there. He's obviously always with the Capture Collectibles guys. So really cool that you guys all linked up. I know all you guys. It's all, that's, you know, small world, obviously. So I think the sketchy artist is a great thing. What were you gonna say, Kevin?
There's got to be power in numbers, because I mean, like, the between the three of us, like, that's why we think sketchy artist is such, like, you know, it's why it's doing so well. It's what, 250% backed already. It's like John and I are hardly promoting. Like, I don't think really any of us are really promoting it as much as we should.
Because I think we promoted it for the first 2 days or two or 3 days, and then it got like 100% funded, and then we'll mention it on Rumble strips every so often, and then.
Yeah. But it's like, it's already, it's so nice for us to not have to like stress out about a project, you know, hitting its funds or whatever. But if you are listening to this and you want to check it out, you really should. And, you know, get a pre-commission now so that you get it when the books come out, because John and I are, you know, I don't know about his commission list, but I'm getting busy. And, you know, it's a cemented way to get our artwork in your hands.
Yeah,
I am pretty free right now in commissions. So if anyone wants one, I'm open.
Yeah. I mean, I backed it, you know, right after I found out about it. Definitely. We'll have the link in the description for this, but you know, again, you could go right on kickstarter.com, sketchy artist comic book, and you can find it as well if you just want to search it. But yeah, I think this is like a great idea. You know, if you're an art fan and you want to get the ability to get any cover or any character on any cover, this is perfect, because there aren't any other types of books out there like this. And then again, the interiors, like you said, I thought the interiors were almost like a blank book, but obviously it's perfect. All your art's inside all three of you guys, so people can find out about you, be like, hey, you know, I didn't know about John's art, or I didn't know about Martin's art, directly from the sketchy artist's cover. So I like that. And like I said, it's still a god. I'm checking out right now. So you still got 15 days. Yeah, you guys are, you know, way over your pledged amount, which is awesome. So, but that doesn't mean that people, you know, shouldn't pledge to get a sketch from either any one of you guys. So awesome. Yeah. So let's kind of real, you know, we're going to wrap up before we get out of here. You know, like I said, we always have people on here. I appreciate both of you guys coming on here as, you know, local artists. You know, do you have, obviously you got the Tough and Stuff coming out, Kevin, you know, anything that you really want to promote other than the sketchy artists, and then also where people can find you as well?
Yeah, get tough stuff all day long. Solstice Art Publishing, bigcartel.com is a great place to pick up books. I'm on Instagram at solstice_art. I'm on Facebook at Delgado_Kevin. And I have a art group on there as well called Solstice Art, the Art of Kevin Delgado. That's a great place to start off, because anytime I do like a giveaway or an art drop, I usually do it there first. So, you know, like I might put a sketch cover up and say, you know, for grabs, it's going to go in there first. Mm-hmm. On Twitter or X, my name is Frigid Giant, and yeah, that's kind of it.
All right, John, where can people find you? What do you got working on? Anything special other than, like I said, the Kickstarter?
Working on the Kickstarter, trying to put some stuff together for my own book eventually. Kind of slacking on it. You can find me on Instagram at John Brugman. Facebook, same thing, John Brugman. Website that I have is johnbrugmanart.com. You can reach out any way you want. If you go to the website, it links all those together. I don't have Twitter or X or whatever it's called, and never got into it for whatever reason, but
same here.
That's best ways to contact me. I'm always posting on there either work I'm working on right now or stuff I got going on. So
hell yeah, awesome. Well, again, people, make sure you go follow both John and Kevin. Go ahead and head up onto their Kickstarter, check it out, make sure you give it a pledge. If not, you know, follow them on a Tuesday night if you're not doing anything and you want to see just some guys drawing, talking some stuff. Hit up on the Rumble Strips Inc. So again, quick little preview show for these gentlemen. All their links will be in the description. And you'll hear from Zach and I next. Previously on the podcast. Come to me, my X-Nem. That's right. I am Professor X. No, not Professor X. I'm Professor X Nem. That's right. Mm. If you've seen my recent stories on Instagram, Comic Dunes created me as, you know, my new team. So we are back again this week. Hopefully you enjoyed the little interview with Kevin and John. Really good artist. So this is Zach's final episode from El Paso
for yes.
quite a long time. So speaking, we're gonna get into it. What's up, man?
Speaking before getting into it, but speaking about your post done by Comic Dunes, I had a friend of ours, James, comic writer, texted, messaged me, and he said, "What's going on under that chair? LOL." He did. He said, "I didn't know that was a two-seater," and I said, "Ha ha ha! Yeah, Nemesis Prime and Dunes underneath that chair, probably."
God. Oh.
Speaking of, did you watch? Did we even talk about X-Men 97 last week? We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We talked about the first two episodes.
Did you how watch this new one?
I didn't watch the new one. And yeah, just so everybody understands, we're recording this. Recording this weird this week. I didn't watch the new episode of X-Men 97, and I didn't watch the Bad Batch yet as well. So I know, what's her name? Massage shows up in Bad Batch. And then I heard...
We're way behind on Bad Batch.
Yeah. And we'll talk about the whole season like once it's over and done, because there's only a couple more episodes from what I gather.
Let me catch up.
Yeah. Did you know that I am a mule for the Canadians? Have you heard this story?
I mean, I see in our chat how they're always shipping things to you. I feel like this is a lapse in judgment about you guys talking about this stuff in front of me.
Well, I think it's funny that I really wanted to bring it up last week, and then or even probably the week before. Of course, so these guys are always shipping stuff to me because for whatever reason. So then I can just bring it to them at Terrificon. But the latest thing that happened last week was Adidas dropped these Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sneakers.
Yeah, the Shelton ones, right?
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And I posted on my Instagram for sale just to see if anybody will bite. But I threw them up at $1,000. I know I'm not going to sell them. It's a joke. But our buddy Rocksteady hits me up. He's like, "Hey," he's like, "I'm doing this thing for Adidas, blah, blah, blah." And then our other friend up in Canada, Hyper Combo Comics, he's back from his hiatus of, you know, being not on YouTube and Instagram. He goes, "Hey, man," he's like, "what's your address?" He's like, "I want to get these things." So I give him my address, but it wouldn't accept it because my guess is because Rocksteady had already put in the address.
Okay.
I go, "Oh, just ship them to my parents' house." So I gave him my father's name. This is a funny story. I didn't tell you about this. I had to put my father's name and their address. And then they showed up this past weekend and my mom calls me. She's like, "Hey," she's like, "did you order Ninja Turtle shoes?" And I go, "Wow, you already got them already?" Cause they literally ordered them on Friday and my parents got them on Saturday. You know, it was just the next day or the day. Sunday. I'm sorry. It was Sunday. Cause I went to the Italy game and it was funny. My mom's like, she's like, "Your father never gets anything in the mail, especially when this big box shows up and I open up the box and it's Ninja Turtle shoes."
How much are these shoes running?
I don't know what they were initially. Let's call it maybe $100, right? They were selling for well over $300 on eBay, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm on eBay right now looking at size 12. It's about $195.
Okay, so they've come down a little bit because I sent a screenshot of what they were selling for. But now the two sizes I got are definitely smaller than your foot or my foot. I'm a 12, 13. They're 10 and a half. So, and I don't know if that's Canadian size, you know, the conversion difference up there. So just, now I have to hold these shoes until Terrificon, which is 5 months away.
Dude, you're going to be traveling with a lot of stuff to Terrificon.
Oh, so much, man. So much. But yeah, so speaking of Terrificon, you know, we talk about it weekly. Terrificon is literally 5 months away. We got King Kong next week. So excited. You know, we're finally there. I did see our exclusive cover that will be coming. I'll be probably posting it on both the Instagram page.
Yes.
Excited to drop that as well. So, but let's get into this episode because Zach is limited on time because he is literally leaving tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning, hitting the road.
Long trip. And then I will see him in a week, which is awesome. So, I'm sure we'll talk in between that time, but let's get into reads, man. I know that again, this is, of course, we're recording a little early and this is the last time that Zach will be getting his reads early going forward.
Maybe. Yeah, it could be.
So I'm going to jump into it because I didn't get a chance to read a lot, but I will talk about some books. So first and foremost, Jackpot and Black Cat number one. Enjoyed the issue. I like Jackpot as a character. There's been multiple versions of her. She's had different powers throughout the years, but now the most recent one is Mary Jane Watson created like this gauntlet, and it's very similar to I guess like Katziv in Final Fantasy, right? What's because that? It's like you have these, it's like a slot machine, it spins different things, powers could be good, bad. There's a thing that said, you know, there's the highest, if she rolls all skulls, she could die, which obviously I don't think is going to happen, but you never know. But I like the episode, the issue you had Black Cat, Mary Jane kind of coming together, being a little bit of a team, don't want to be a team, but you know, that's obviously what this little mini series is about. I love the art. Emilio Lasiwi is the artist on this, has some really cool vibes, got the Adam Hughes covers, which is nice. But you know, I always liked the Black Cat series, whether it was her first ongoing series or the second ongoing series. I thought they were really good. It's a nice little thieving on the Marvel side. I know it's, you know, counterpoint to what we have in DC Comics, right, with obviously Catwoman. But I like Felicia Hart as a character. She's one of my tops in the Marvel side. So really good issue there. Next up, Wolverine 46. Did you read it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Wolverine 46, obviously just an amazing issue. The whole parallels with, you have Wolverine and his little choked mind or whatever you want to call it with the head
T-Max.
T-Max. Just awesome to see, like, when the story is going with him and Sabretooth, it's, you know, stuff that's happening in kind of like the Weapon X program and then what's really happening. And it's really cool to see as the page goes down, as you're reading it, you're reading two different sides, but everything's happening at the same time. And then obviously when the other X-Men or other X characters are there, it's completely different. But enjoyed the issue. Another violent issue. That character's arm who got ripped off was wild.
Yeah. The whole Exiles crew, like, I'm wondering if they're going to, I'm trying to keep it like spoiler free, but
yeah.
So you have you obviously have the X-Force, you have Sabretooth's crew, and then you have the Exiles, is kind of what they're called. And that came from the miniseries that you had, Sabretooth and the Exiles, just previously also written by, mind blank. Not Benjamin Percy, but Victor Laval, who's also teamed up during the Sabretooth War here with Benjamin Percy. So they were like kind of a big deal, and they've been hunting Sabretooth for their own reason. And this last issue, like, I don't know, man, like what's going to happen with all of them, because they all kind of got wrecked a little bit there. We know what's her name survives. The character who can do ice and fire at the same time. She's one of Hope Summers' characters, but we've seen her in the solicitations on the new X-Men team. Mm-hmm. So she's obviously going to make it. But wild issue. Another wild issue.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's like every 2 weeks, it's so much fun to read this Wolverine Sabretooth story. Yeah. And it kind of ends with some things going on. Obviously, the whole capture of X-23, if you're caught up on that. So we'll see where this goes. And I think it's been a great every 2 weeks to read just this storyline. Like, it's something that, you know, we talked about it when it was coming out, when it first came out. We're like, can this really hold every 2 weeks? Good issue. And it really has. It really has been amazing to read every 2 weeks. So, and then just final issue, just kind of pick of the week. And obviously it's kind of a little like jaded, or I feel like, but X-Men 97, 91, number one, I'm sorry. Did you read that?
I did not.
No. Okay. So it kind of, it's a pretty good precursor to episode one of X-Men 97. So it's got the same team that's in the animated series. It's post Professor X. Jean Grey is not, she's not pregnant. Well, she is announcing her pregnancy to Scott in this issue. But I kind of feel like it's weird because they put Dazzler as kind of another character that they're going after. I really feel like they're maybe forcing Dazzler onto some people because of, you know, what may show up in Deadpool. But and now there's also this meme that's going around with Sad Wolverine. So yeah. Be on the lookout.
I have seen that.
Okay. So be on the lookout for Sad Wolverine memes now going forward. Cause that's, he basically finds out, he sees that she's got like the pregnancy test in her hand and he's just like sad. So, and the art style is great too. It really feels like that cartoon look. And it kind of is like a pickup from they did that 5-issue miniseries X-Men 92.
Yeah.
Not too long ago. Oh. you know, so it's cool. Same thing, but you get the team, you get the characters, and I like how it's just a nice little prequel to the X-Men show. So I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know how many issues, probably five, but that's definitely my pick of the week is X-Men 97, number one. What about you, man?
Nice. You know, so there was a few books I didn't get to read. I haven't finished Hulk 10, God 6, or Penguin.
Yeah, I got nothing on the DC side that I haven't read any of that yet.
But I did read, so I guess like a, okay, I guess not, I don't want to say hot garbage, but I'm really enjoying the Daredevil run right now. It's good. It's not as great as the Chip Zdarsky stuff last run, but basically the storyline is, you know, Daredevil's back from the dead. Not everyone knows he's back from the dead. He's posing as a priest. And kind of the villains he's going up against right now are like the seven deadly sins, right? His seven deadly sins are demons and they've escaped and they're like taking over people's bodies. Mm-hmm. He has to kind of fight people. So like he fought Doctor Strange. And this week he fought Wolverine, right? And Wolverine, he's like, oh, I must be fighting Wrath. And of course, what's a better conduit for Wrath than Wolverine? It turns out to actually be lust because of Daredevil's like lust for battle and violence. But it's decent. You know, it's okay. And Daredevil's a badass. But like, look, dude, like it's very evident. Like, you can't be a character like Daredevil or anyone for that matter and think you're going to go up against Wolverine and like come out on top, like with the healing factor and everything like that. So it's very, you know, you see Daredevil kind of like get taken to school a little bit by Wolverine, but that's not the stuff that bothered me. I think what bothered me is, and we've kind of talked about this in varying degrees with different topics, but this idea of having to like bring in these characters, I know this is a classic trope for like Marvel and comics in general from the big two, is you bring in a fan favorite character and you put them on the cover to kind of increase sales for a title, right?
Yep.
And so obviously that's Wolverine pretty much. That's his, the go-to for him. And I just don't like it, dude. I don't like it. Like, you shouldn't be able to have, you shouldn't have to bring in these characters to boost sales on your run. If that's the case, then you're not writing well enough. And I don't know if that is the situation. Like I said, I am enjoying the run. It's good. I think it has a story to tell and it can go somewhere. But every week, if it's like a new superhero has one of his like seven deadly sins in it, like that's tiresome. It feels like a villain of the week type situation, right? And yeah. Then obviously, you know, Doctor Strange didn't die and Wolverine didn't die. So it's very pointless in a way. So I don't want to call it hot garbage, but I was a little disappointed in that issue this week. Also kind of on the mid-level of comics this week, from Benjamin Percy, X-Force number 50. So at the last issue of X-Force, Benjamin Percy has written all 50 issues since the start of like House of X, the Krakoa age. Benjamin Percy's been writing X-Force. And we've really had this whole, it's been interesting over the X-Force run to watch the character of Beast develop and kind of break bad and kind of go this different route. And so the last five or so issues have definitely been this battle against Beast with the rest of X-Force. And all this takes place before the Sabretooth War, of course, and the Fall of X stuff. It's been a good buildup. I'm not sure I really enjoyed the pacing of the story because I felt like this final issue and round out of like battle with Beast was kind of like lackluster. Like, I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. And I am going to spoil something. So because there's no way to talk about this and like explain to you why I was disappointed in the story without spoiling this. So if you don't want to be spoiled, maybe pause it or like move, plug your ears for like a hot 30 seconds or a minute real quick, starting now. So in the previous issues, Beast had made clones of himself, right? And obviously with Krakoa and the resurrection, one of the clones of Beast has been Beast when he was like in his most happiest time period, when he was like teamed up with Wonder Man. So for the past couple issues, you have two Beasts. You have the present day Beast, who's kind of bad, and this older version, happy-go-lucky Beast. So he teams up with Wonder Man again. We've had Wonder Man in the past couple issues. And it's just classic Marvel where there's no real stakes involved, right? So like Beast versus Beast at the end. And then like, hey, don't do this. Don't be bad. You don't have to do this. Oh, you're too naive. You don't know what I've been through and the wisdom I have had, like between the two of them. And then like this bomb's getting ready to go off and evil Beast decides at the last minute to well, I'll stop it. And he sacrifices himself, right?
Yep.
So he's gone, but you still have old Beast around. So like, what are the stakes here? You know what I mean? And that's something maybe people could argue, like, well, what have the stakes been for the X-Men anyway with Resurrection? Well, I feel like it's a different take because the Resurrection stuff has been clearly like, hey, this is part of the story, this revolving door of coming back. That's been built into the story. But this idea of like, now there's no Resurrection anymore and you've got Beast is gone, but hey, we got a good Beast still. It just kind of really takes away from this whole idea of like, why did you do 50 issues of Beast Breaking Bad in the first place if you were just going to revert to a good Beast? You know what I mean? So
yeah, I would like, yeah, I guess to come out of it would have been nice to see him still stay bad, like have the still the evil Beast and whatever, him be like a villain for future issues or, right. You know, with the relaunch coming out over the summer, you know, that's a kind of a character who you could continue his storyline a little bit or, you know, put him in the back burner, but leave, you know, you still have him in like your side pocket type of thing.
I would have also been happy. I was kind of wondering if it was going to happen, but because we haven't really seen Dark Beast in a long time, the Age of Apocalypse Beast. I was kind of wondering if maybe we were going to be like, hey, guess what? This has been Dark Beast the whole time. Something like that. But even that would have been better. But this whole idea, it just, it's so frustrating. And obviously it's comics and this happens all the time. It's like, you've had this story, you've been building this story, and then it's just like they pull the rug out from under you and it's like, oh, don't worry, we got the Beast again. Like, so I don't know. Anyway, so pick of the week. I really enjoyed Rise of the Powers of X, number 3, really great. Briefly, Xavier going after Moira McTaggart, the whole Fall of X stuff, really cool. It's kind of bridging some gaps on some of the other stories. But the pick of the week is going to be Duke number 4, man. So good. I mean, the Energon universe, especially the G.I. Joe titles right now, both Cobra and Duke, like every month is just awesome. Like, really look forward to reading those issues. And I love where they're going with Duke. They're making this kind of a badass. He's not quite the Boy Scout that he was, you know, in like the G.I. Joe. He's kind of got a little edge to him where he's like, nah, dude, like, I don't really care. He's on this mission right now, right? And like,
yeah,
the Starscream mission. But we all know he's eventually going to team up with, you know, Hawk and form Joes and all that. But I really like it, dude. Did you read Duke?
No, I didn't. Like I said, those three titles that I picked and maybe one or two more just on like the Marvel side was the only thing that I was able to read this week because,
okay.
Again, how we're recording this. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I got to read. There's a lot of DC stuff that's there. The indie stuff. There's quite a lot of stuff that I need to check out before the week's over.
Yeah. It was good stuff, man. So
nice.
Those are my picks.
Awesome. Well, let's kind of stick with some comics. And I know we do have a comic book article that's right up your alley and something that, you know, again, go back and check out our episode with Kent, you know, regarding his Punisher book. We got a Punisher series coming out. That's actually Frank Castle.
Yeah. So we got a new issue, our new miniseries, 1-5 miniseries by Garth Ennis, tackling the Punisher, kind of going back to the days of yore, if you will, with Nick Fury and Ennis. And the miniseries is called Get Fury. So it's described as Garth Ennis returns to Marvel and the Punisher, and this May is Get Fury number 1. They talk about, covers by the aforementioned Dave Johnson. The series continues Ennis' spotlight on the journey of Nick Fury as a CIA agent following World War II, only this time with the series set during the Vietnam War. Ennis is also returning to the world of Lieutenant Frank Castle during the period where the Punisher was born. So basically the story reads as 1971, there's a war raging in Vietnam. Nick Fury has been captured by the Viet Cong. At this moment, they don't understand what they have in their possession, a man who knows enough secrets to damage the United States beyond comprehension. The CIA, however, does realize this, and they can't risk their enemy getting those secrets. So they dispatch the most deadly man in the U.S. Army, Lieutenant Frank Castle. So this is very interesting, and this is all coming from CBR, and I'm looking here. I saw this article somewhere else, and I could have swore, and I'm not seeing it here necessarily. Oh, yeah, rated max. Okay, so it is rated max as well, which is great, right? I mean, that's what you want from Ennis.
Yep.
And like you said, when we were talking to Kent, I haven't read, like, all the publisher titles like he has, like through the history of the publisher. But
yeah,
I didn't know at one point Frank Castle killed Nick Fury. And of course it was an LMD and all that. And so I was wondering if this was tied into that, maybe like a little larger version of it, or maybe explain why that happened. But as you can see, this is taking place during the Vietnam War. So before he even becomes the Punisher. So, it's pretty cool. I don't know, you know, what's the continuity on this, if it really falls in, like, where does it fall in the history of the Punisher, or if it's just like a little microcosm, you know, micro universe of Frank Castle chasing down Nick Fury. But
yeah, or a little bit of a retcon maybe.
Right.
We constantly get that. So,
but like you said, it is cool because, you know, it's classic play it safe Marvel, right? Like, hey, we get the Punisher, but you don't really get the Punisher. So yeah, like he's not going to be the Punisher, but he's acting like the Punisher here in a way, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll probably read it, man. I mean, it's Ennis writing Fury and the Punisher in a Max series. Like, yeah, man. I mean, that's worth giving a shot to at the very least.
So. Yeah. And they don't really do that too much of the Max stuff too anymore, but
right.
So that's coming out in May. Looks like May 1st is the first issue called Get Fury. So yeah, yep. I'm excited to see Garth Ennis's stuff back. You know, quite a long time since he's wrote.
Yeah, what's the last time he's written in Marvel? To be honest,
it
might be the Punisher stuff. I would think.
I mean, to be honest, it's been quite a while since he's been on the Marvel side. I mean, he's been doing so much, obviously, with like the indie stuff, all the Boys and everything else. But
yeah,
God, I don't even know the last time he was with, you know, one of the big twos. To be honest, Marvel looks like, yeah. I mean, you got Punisher all the way up until like 2007. You know, mini series here and there, but yeah, it's literally been 2000, you know, early 2000s into the mid 2000s of all that stuff. Nothing pretty crazy. I mean, I guess we can call Where Monsters Dwell, that was like a 1-5, but I really wouldn't consider that like a huge thing in the Marvel. But yeah, all of the Punisher stuff.
Sounds to me like Marvel's probably like, well, we can't afford to pay Garth Ennis for any ongoings, so we'll just do like a 5 mini series, because they definitely probably can't afford, not that they can't afford him, they don't want to pay him.
Yeah.
So, but side note for all you variant cover people, looks like there are a couple variant covers coming out. Variant cover by Jason Burroughs, variant cover by Roger Antonio. There should be a Stormbreakers variant cover coming out as well by Martin Coccolo. And who knows what else you'll get from there. So a couple variants there for issue number one, at least.
Nice. All right. So next up, getting out of the comic book stuff, and this actually was just revealed today on March 27th. So we're pulling this over from Entertainment Weekly. Marvel meets Overwatch, new superhero shooter game, Marvel Rivals, officially revealed. So could talk about a little video game stuff. So if you're a fan of either the Overwatch games or Valorant, even a little bit of, I'd say, Fortnite. So Marvel just, you know, we haven't had a Marvel type of game other than the Spider-Man stuff, but this is like the first thing that we've had in quite a long time since that Avengers game came out, which was just lackluster. But
yeah.
Marvel Rivals is going to be a 6v6 PvP shooter game that's similar to Overwatch. You have synopsis of the storyline. Sounds pretty good, I should say. Clash between the tyrannical dictator Dr. Doom and his future counterpart from 2099. Countless universes collided in the time stream entanglement. As a result, creating new worlds and crises, heroes and villains from across the multiverse must fight together in a one-on-one battle of groups to defeat the Dooms before one achieves their reality. And in the trailer, you actually get to see a female version of Galactus. It's going to be on PC. So far, I know they're doing if you want to sign up through Steam, you could sign up for the beta. The beta is actually starting next month. But at launch, they'll have 16 characters: Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Groot, Rocket Raccoon, Hulk, Iron Man, Loki, Luna Snow, Magic, Magneto, Mantis, Namor, Penny Parker, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man, Storm, Star-Lord, and the Punisher.
Wow, Punisher again. He's back.
Yeah, all talking Punisher. But yeah, this is it's pretty interesting stuff. So I enjoy these types of games. I definitely played the first Overwatch, and I continuously play Fortnite. And I think this is going to be a nice live service game. You know, in my downtime of not playing Final Fantasy Rebirth right now, I do pop in Helldivers too. I was able to get a copy of that, so I've been playing that. And I feel like this is a perfect game to get into for, you know, multiplayer fans, fans of Marvel that are kind of missing on something.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is, I can already like see the timeline of how their seasons would work. You know, you have these 16 characters, seasons could be brought out. You could obviously have tons of different costumes, right? And there's just with the 16 characters, you can unlock new costumes for all these characters. New heroes and villains can be added throughout the season or, you know, and going forward because there's such a huge Marvel universe. I mean,
yeah,
the fact that the initial 16 characters involve characters like Luna Snow, Magic, Penny Parker, and even I'm going to say like Mantis is weird, to be honest, because most of everybody else are AAA characters.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's very telling on who's missing from this, right? Like characters you can tell they're saving, like no Captain America, no Wolverine. In fact, in terms of X-Men, Magic, Magneto, and Storm, I mean, Storm's a big character. Magneto's a big character, and Magic's getting there, but you're leaving out like Wolverine, Rogue, Cyclops, Jean Grey. I mean, there's definitely like, there's some big question marks on who these, some of these characters missing, right? Which you know will show up later.
Yeah, this is a game that could probably go for a very long time.
Yeah,
you know, with the right amount of updates, with the right amount of seasons. And, you know, we look at Fortnite, like Fortnite's a $20 billion game. That's right, $20 billion. You know, it's ridiculous. So the fact that Next, the name of the company that's putting it together is Next Ease Games. But in the trailer, right at the end, you actually see Epic Games. And Epic Games obviously is the whole creator behind Fortnite. So I'm sure they have a little bit of a, you know, help with them, but I'm excited, man. Just from the trailer, there was a lot of cool gameplay, you know, Magic, each of these characters get some abilities. They kind of have like a superpower, but then they have like that team up ability. If you saw the trailer,
like which a synergy, is like Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Straight up out of that. So like, you know, Rocket could jump on Groot's back. You had Luna Snow and Namor kind of doing powers together, Hulk and Iron Man. So I'm really excited to actually play this. I'm hoping it comes to consoles because you figure Fortnite's on all the consoles. It's on PC. It's on mobile. Like this is the type of game that anybody can play anywhere, right? I'm sure if it just stays on PC, you're kind of doing a disservice because everybody's going to want to play this game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the appeal is definitely the console for sure. With Fortnite and games like that. I never played Overwatch, but I mean, I've dabbled on a lot of Fortnite back and forth, but, and yeah, there's definitely a lot of appeal. And you can always tell too with Fortnite, whenever they have like the Marvel characters and the Marvel seasons, those are huge seasons on Fortnite. Mm-hmm. So yeah, dude, it looks like it could be fun. Definitely check it out.
I'm so excited. Like, cause just thinking of characters, like you said, like they didn't choose, they didn't take the main roster from, you figure Avengers, X-Men, but then you can pull in characters that, you know, nobody would think of, right? Like, that's why when I saw Luna Snow, I was like, wow, they're digging deep. And then even, that's, you know, smart, to have a,
you know, trying to
bring definitely
to like new characters as well. You know, that's a good idea.
Having Penny Parker instead of like a Spider-Gwen or a Miles or, you know, a female Spider-Woman or any of them. So I think it's going to be good. I think long-term, this is the play. This is a great new video game that's going to be coming out. So if you could jump on the beta, if your PC is, you know, I would say game accessible, definitely sign up for the closed beta right now. I think it's, if you just go on Google, type in Marvel Rivals beta, and it'll lead you right to the website. I don't know if my computer, I'm sure my computer can handle it. You know, it's not too game intensive. Like, I don't think it's heavy on the graphics. It's looks like it's running off the Unreal engine. But yeah, that's pretty much it for this week. You know, we're keeping it, like I said, short, other than having our guests on earlier. Anything you want to chat about, man, before you leave? Any final countdowns from El Paso?
No, you know, it's been fun. It's been real out here. I love El Paso, love Texas, but ready for the next adventure, ready to be on the East Coast to kind of interact a little bit more with you and the rest of the community out there. And I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be fun. Super excited for King Con next weekend.
It's, you know, we've been talking about that for 6 months, 5-6 months now. And the fact that it's literally next week, and, you know, I even said to my coworker today, I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to take next week off, I mean, next Friday off, or maybe half a day, depending on, you know, how, you know, your travel schedule is. But, Yeah, I'm super excited. I just got off the phone with, Dave Levesque of the Green O. Shirts are getting shipped out. So I should have the new shirts for next week. So they'll be on sale. I'm pricing up some slabs. I may bring some raw stuff. You're obviously going to have to, find and whatever you want to bring to sell. But yeah, we're going to be selling some stuff. We got Ken coming. It's going to be a good show. We'll be dropping a new cover and then, whatever we can do over there. So maybe we'll talk, obviously talk with the community, get some people on, maybe go live. We'll be live on whatnot. And then going forward, we'll see what can do. So thanks, everybody. Zach, it's been great, podcasting with you all the way from Texas. Obviously, the biggest thing that I'm super happy about is no longer will I have to worry about time zone changes.
Yeah, we'll be on the same time zone finally.
Yeah, so I don't have to worry about, hey, what time are we recording? Well, if it's 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whoever knows when it is. But that's it, everybody, for this week's episode. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you next week live from King Kong. And then who knows if you'll be able around for the show, right?
Yep. Oh, I should be. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks. Catch y'all soon.
Later.
Hey, comic book collectors. Do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.